So great to hear that Not Too Young song from our Crossway Kids team. I've heard that Crossway Worship's actually releasing Not Too Old a little bit later this year, and we're opening auditions for the music video as well. So if anyone is out there feeling not too old to worship God and wants to jump and put on a blue t-shirt, I kid, that is not the case. But there's no age limit to listen to Not Too Young, right? Anybody and everybody, get on whatever music platform you so desire and go and listen to it. Awesome work that the kids team has put in to that. Hey, I don't know if you were here last week. Pastor Mark opened up our Plugged In series, which we're going to be tracking through as a church over the next 3 weeks. So we've got one more week still to come. And just there was a real sense of the significance of the Holy Spirit last weekend. And saying those three simple words, come Holy Spirit, and inviting Him into this moment, into this room, into your room, wherever you're watching from, but into our hearts as well. And we got an opportunity to do that again today. And I wanted to kick off just by asking each and every person here and watching online a question. I wonder if you've ever come to a passage of scripture and you've just gone, that's me right there. That's my heart right there in that moment. I feel like I could have written that based on how I've been feeling recently. I wonder if you've ever felt like me in reading a passage of scripture and going, that's my heart. That's what it's saying right there. I had that experience this week. I was reading Romans chapter 7. And Paul writes this. He says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. The desire to do what is right, the desire to do what we know we should do, but not the ability to carry it out. And if this doesn't hit you as much as it hit me, I've done us all a little bit of a favor, and I've done a Sam Farren interpretation of this passage. So if I was to write this passage, here's what it might say. It says, for I do not understand why I just ate Uber Eats for the third time this week. For I do not eat a salad with grilled chicken, but I do the very thing that I hate. So now it is no longer I who eat dessert twice in one sitting, but sin that dwells within me. It's not done yet. For I know that no discipline around exercise dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to go to the gym first thing in the morning, but not the ability to carry it out. I wonder what that verse would say for you if you were to write something like that. I know what I want to do over in this direction, but gosh, my heart is tugging me to the convenience of getting on an app, tapping it, and having a grilled burger on my front doorstep in 45 minutes' time. I don't have time to chop sweet potato and make a salad. And it's funny to talk about sort of this surface level stuff of it, right? Because it is, we all know what that experience is. To so long for the straight and narrow and to know what it is to be on the straight and narrow, but to be tugged in the direction of convenience and instant gratification. And there's lots of things that exist on the surface level here. But the truth is, in opening up today, the flesh versus the spirit, is that there's actually a whole lot of depth to this as well. It's not just the stuff that exists on the surface, is it? Each of us would know what it's like to feel the depth of this tug of war in our lives. The tension of wanting to be people of the Spirit, wanting to be people who are characterized by God's goodness in our lives and keeping in step with the Spirit, but also knowing that there's something within us that we can't quite put our finger on that keeps on tugging and drawing us away from God, and that's the flesh. And it's my prayer today that as we open up the word and as we hear what Paul has to say to us about this, that there would be freedom and victory that walks out these doors today. That there would be freedom and victory after you close your laptop today, wherever you're watching it from. Because that's what the gift of the Spirit is in this tension, in this tug of war. And so I'm going to invite Him to be with us where we are right now and where you are right now. So I wonder if you pray with me as I invite Him. Yeah, God, we thank You for Your presence and for Your Holy Spirit. God, there's such significance in saying those three words, come Holy Spirit. And so would that be true for us today, God, right now? Even as I'm speaking and as we're praying right now, would we be praying, come Holy Spirit in me? Wherever we're watching from, would we be saying, come Holy Spirit in this room right now? Would we get ourselves out of the way in this moment, God, and just really offer up our hearts to You? God, would I get myself out of the way? Nothing I could say would change anyone's life. But Your Holy Spirit does change lives. And God, we believe that he will change lives, God, and that we will receive a new lens of freedom and fullness in the Spirit today. You're faithful to respond when we call your Holy Spirit down, and so we call him down now in this moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to sit in the book of Romans a bunch today with Paul, and I don't know how much you know about the book of Romans. Rome, the city that Paul wrote to, was like the economic and the arts and cultural capital of the known world when he wrote that book. Everything flew, everything went in and out of Rome. It was a really significant secular city in the known world where he was writing. And most of the letters of the New Testament that Paul wrote, he was the one to establish the gospel in the places where he wrote the letter to. So the letter to the Corinthians, Paul was the one to establish the gospel in the city of Corinth. And he was writing a letter to that church that he established. The letter of the Galatians, same thing. Paul was the one to establish the gospel in Galatia. But Rome stands alone. There was already Christians in Rome by the time that Paul wrote that letter. And we know that because he again and again and again in this book uses the words brothers and sisters when he's addressing the people who are reading it. Brothers and sisters, which we can understand as meaning brothers and sisters in Christ. People who already know the Lord, who love the Lord, who are made new in him. Now, why is this important for us? Why is this valuable for us to know or to understand? We can kind of take this as though Paul is kind of like grabbing the shoulders of the people who are reading this book and who are listening and who are saying, hey, I know you've heard the gospel before. I know you've heard what I'm about to write before, but listen up. How many times do I have to say, brothers and sisters, this is really important. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It's like he's shaking them on the shoulders. And it's like he's doing the same to us when we read this, when we believe it's inspired for us today in 2022. It's kind of like he's giving us a bit of a wake up, a bit of a shake up, saying, I know you've heard all this stuff before, but it's really important. Don't miss it. And then he writes this in Romans 8. Verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, Christians, brothers and sisters, that's us, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Here we already are starting to get this picture that Paul's painting for us of what the tug of war between the flesh and the Spirit is within our hearts and also for our hearts as well. And something to get from the get-go is that Paul is trying to say, really, that it's not actually as much of a tug of war as we think it is necessarily. It is much more of a battle than we initially see on the surface. It's not as though it's sort of like we have the flesh and the Spirit existing in both of us and we can kind of be tugged in both directions at any given time. It is a battle. Like the flesh is hostile to the Spirit of God within us. So it's not a both and. It's kind of like an either or in our hearts in this battle that we face, both in our hearts and for our hearts as well. That's got to raise our level of attention, doesn't it, to this sort of stuff. That's got to sort of like lift our eyes and raise our alertness and go, okay, like this is significant. It's not all just about whether I'm like choosing to eat healthily or choosing to order takeaway. Like there's a significant thing that's going on in my heart right now and I need to be aware of it. And I need to not just kind of push it off to the side and tolerate it as well. If there's a battle going on in my heart, I got to be ready to do battle as well. That's the picture that Paul's kind of painting for us. Popular culture paints a kind of different picture, somewhat similar. Poor old Homer Simpson. It's the bad angel and the good angel on both shoulders, right? It's the bad angel sort of whispering sweet nothings over here, telling you to go for the thing that's instant, the thing that's quick, the thing that's going to provide really short-term level of security and safety and comfort. And then it's the good angel over on this shoulder trying to tug us back in the right direction, right? Trying to keep us back on the straight and narrow. And it's like we're in this state of like constant tug in both directions. It's like there's a rope attached to both of our arms and we're paralyzed to do anything different from just being shaken around by the spirit within us and then our flesh that exists within us as well. Now, I think it's important for us to understand when we talk about the flesh and the spirit as well, what the flesh is and also what it isn't. So really quickly, the flesh is not our body. Our body is not a bad thing. Paul says that. They're two different Greek words, flesh, body. Our body is not a bad thing. Paul says in Romans 12 that we're to worship God with our bodies, to offer them as living sacrifices to him. And so it's not this physical body that we're given. We're told to use that for good. Our flesh is more of that animal self within us, right? That reptilian self almost, the animal desires that we have within us that we can't quite put a finger on where they're coming from, that we can't quite explain, but that ultimately are pretty loud and sometimes can make a lot of decisions for us when we would rather that they don't make that many decisions for us. Romans 7:18, we just read on that. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. How many of us know that feeling? I've got a hunger and I've got a passion and a yearning to stay on the straight and narrow and to live in the plans and purposes of God. But why did I end up doing that 5 minutes later? Why did I end up getting tugged in that direction? It came out of nowhere. I didn't know what to do. I was paralyzed to do anything different. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Here's that battle, right? It's not just a tug of war. They're opposed to each other in our hearts and in our souls. And ultimately, the purposes of it is to keep us from doing what we want to do. It's to keep us from being where we're meant to be. It's to keep us from being grounded in that life that's filled with the Spirit. That's the flesh that's existing within us. That's our fallenness. And you might be sitting here going, okay, my sin's paid for. I love the Lord. I know the Lord. He's redeemed me. He's made me new. Why am I still struggling with this? If I really truly believe that, why is this still a thing for me? Why am I still getting tugged and drawn in this direction and feeling like I can't really control what's happening in myself? Again, another important distinction here between our flesh and sin. Jesus paid the price for our sin, right? He talks about our old nature being gone and us stepping wholeheartedly into our new nature, our new selves that we receive when we say yes to Jesus for the first time, when he washes us clean, when we repent of our sin. It's almost like in that moment, we're new people, but the flesh is also still there in that moment. The flesh is still part of us in that moment, even in our new nature. And so therefore, in that moment, the flesh in this new nature has nothing else it can do other than submitting to the spirit that now dwells within us, because it didn't used to dwell in us over there, but it does now. This battle that exists within us, it's an unfair battle. The good news is, it's unfair for the flesh. That's a battle, spirit versus flesh, that is already won. The spirit comes over the top of the flesh, and the flesh has got to submit to the spirit that exists within us. And so we have the power to again and again and again and again every day win that battle. It's almost like we should all walk around with t-shirts on that say under new management. Right? Like some of the old ways of doing things, like under new management, like the old employees are still there, some of the old business structures are still there, the old office is still there, but there's a new CEO in town. He's coming in and he's fundamentally changing everything about the business. Some of the ways that it looks on the surface haven't quite changed, and it might take some time for them to change and processes, but the business fundamentally is different. It'd be like if an old car got a brand new engine in it. It's dirty, it's got rust, it's got scratches, it's got needs a new paint job. But there's a new engine in there, and when you turn that on, the engine purrs, and it's fuel efficient, and it goes really fast. Sometimes it takes some time to do a new paint job, to buff away the edges, to get it to start to look slightly differently. It's the same for us. We're made new in Jesus, but some of the surface stuff takes some time through application of the word, through prayer, through regular repentance and confession, through community. Take some time to buff away some of that sort of stuff on the surface, right? Take some time to change some of that sort of stuff. Paul says that we've been crucified with Christ when we choose to follow him, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And he also said this in Romans 8, I don't know if you caught this, it says he condemned sin in the flesh, which means when we say yes to Jesus and we're crucified with Christ, we have the power and the ability to take our sin and to also have that be crucified to the cross with Jesus. I think there's too often we find ourselves nailing our sin to the cross, but then dragging it back down off the cross afterwards and carrying around some guilt and shame with us as we step into our new selves and our new nature. Like we repent and we say yes to Jesus and we nail our sin, but then we pull it back down and we hold it tightly with us and we carry it with us, and it changes how we feel about ourselves in this newness of life that God gives us, life with the Spirit, life in step with the Spirit. We have the power to nail it there and to leave it there, to not drag it anywhere with us. I'm believing that there are some of us here today who that's a step. To condemn sin in the flesh, Jesus gave us the power to do that through a sacrifice, to nail sin to the cross and to leave it there, and not to continue to drag it with us and have it continue to affect our lives. Once we repent and confess, it's done. It stays there. It doesn't have to come back down off the cross. I love the way that Douglas Moo paints this picture for us. He says, transferred into a new regime of life, we no longer fear that our sins will ever condemn us. When we put them on the cross and we nail them there, they can't come down by themselves. We've got to be the one who has got to do that. So we don't have to fear. We do that. We accept the sacrifice of Jesus and they stay there. We don't have to fear them anymore. Our sin is gone. We can walk freely in the plans and purposes of what a Spirit-filled life looks like. And I think we all know what that looks like for each of us in the room personally as well. It'll be different, but we kind of know deep down what a Spirit-filled life looks like. We kind of have an aspiration of the sort of person that we want to be, of the sort of husband or wife that we want to be, of the sort of mum or dad or brother or sister or colleague that we want to be. We know what it will look like to have the Spirit lived out through us, but we kind of feel unable to get to that point, potentially. We no longer have to fear that which would condemn us. So ultimately, we receive the blood of Jesus. We know that we're made new, but this flesh is still here, and it's still a battle that exists within us in this moment, right? We're given the Spirit, which is the golden ticket, which is the key to victory, but this battle is still there. And Paul kind of, again, he raises the stakes in our hearts for this battle as well. And he kind of paints a picture of what the fruit of those two directions is looking like. Because remember, it's not a both and. It's an either or, because they're against each other. I don't know if you found this when you think about those two different directions in your life, but this one is often much more instant, isn't it? It's like a really quick instant gratification. It's like, I need a quick fix. I need a quick sense of security, a quick sense of comfort, a quick sense of ease in my life. And so I'm going to go for this thing. It's just going to provide something fast to me. Choosing to live in the plans and purposes of the Spirit takes time and takes effort and takes a pursuit of depth in your relationship with God. We're drawn to instant. That's what the world tells us to do. We're not drawn to depth and patience. But But at the same time, this instant stuff that looks good on the surface, Paul paints a bit of a picture about what's around the back of that, about what is the fruit of the flesh, really. Because we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, but what's the fruit of the flesh? What's around the back? What we can't quite see when we go for something instant that's going to provide us a sense of security. And Paul doesn't beat around the bush. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Oof. Paul's pretty clear. There's some not nice stuff around the back there. It might look good on the surface. It might look nice on the surface. But we can't just skim over the top of the surface what we want and not also have what's around the back there when we pursue the flesh and when we satisfy the desires of the flesh. And again, because of the gift that we have in Jesus, Paul paints a picture of what the fruit of the Spirit is. If you've been in kids' church, you're more than welcome to sing along with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I wonder how many of those words you look at and you go, yeah, that's my deep longing. I so want to be more like that. I so want to be more of that sort of husband. I so want to be more of that sort of wife. I so want to be more of that sort of mom or dad or grandparent. This is what Paul calls us to, and this is what we're invited into, to be filled with the Spirit and have this flow out of us because we chose to pursue depth and not because we chose to pursue what was instant. And Paul shows us exactly how we can get to this fruit. Paul shows us exactly how we can do this, and he says it's all about where we set our minds. It's all about what our attention is on. It's all about what our will and our aspirations are focused towards. It's about what we dwell on. I love nature and I love creation. This is me with one of my best friends out on the golf course. And I love getting out and spending time with him, or maybe by myself, just spending time out in nature and just enjoying God's creation. And I find that in that moment, that's one of the best ways for me to set my mind on the things of God. If I'm playing well, that is. If I'm playing badly, the flesh starts to come and say some things to me, and it's not as nice of a time outside. But I'm setting my mind on the things of God. I'm choosing to think, and I'm choosing to pray, and choosing to dwell with Him in that moment. There's power in setting your mind on God and on the things of the Spirit. In the same way, there's really significant power when we come to set our minds on the things of the flesh. The author Lisa Bloom wrote a book called Straight Talk for Women to Stay Smart in a Dumbed Down World. And she said and found that over 50% of girls over the age of 13, that's just out of primary school, say that they're unhappy with their bodies. One half of the girls in year 7 say they're unhappy with their bodies because they've been given an image of what it looks like to be beautiful. They'd be given an image of what it looks like to be whole and what success looks like. They've been setting their minds on something that is not of God, that is not of the Spirit, and drawn towards that which the flesh draws us towards. There's power in what we set our minds on and what we think about and what we dwell on, what we put our attention towards. Paul says it there. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Where are we setting our minds today? What are we thinking about? What are we dwelling on? What are we pursuing? What are we not pursuing that we should be pursuing? Where's our love and where's our affection? Where's our time and where's our resources? Because it's not both end, it's either or. Which one are we pursuing? I love Paul again. He's just painting a picture of exactly what I'm feeling every time I read this. And you can almost picture him when he says this, like tearing his clothes. He's like, wretched man that am I. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He knows this battle in his soul. You can really tell he's feeling it in this moment. And he's feeling the significance of it. And then he answers his own question in verse 25. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God, there it is, with my mind. There's power in what we think about and what we don't think about. There's power of life in the spirit and death in the flesh. Which direction are we heading in? And how is the rubber meeting the road with this? Because it's all well and good to talk about this at a high level and to read what Paul has to say, but ultimately this has got to change our lives. It's got to change the decisions that we make, doesn't it? John Mark Comer says this. He says, our deepest desires, usually to become people of goodness and love, are often sabotaged by the stronger surface level desires of the flesh. There's that surface versus depth paradox, right? These are usually the stronger desires, right? These are usually the louder ones in that moment. I don't know if you've ever had a pet that just incessantly asks you for food and follows you around for food when you forget to feed it. My dog, like, she's like really small, but she sort of jumps up at my knees and is just like barking when we haven't fed her. Or if she needs to go to the bathroom and needs to be let outside, she pesters again and again and again. And it's like a high-pitched bark. It's not like a low bark as well. She's like a squirrel, basically. She pesters and pesters and pesters in that moment. It's loud. It's hard to avoid her. Aren't those the desires of the flesh? They're loud and they're constant and they're hard to avoid and they follow us around everywhere we go. But the very deepest and corest parts of who we are, because we've been made new and crucified with Christ, our deepest desires are usually to be people of goodness and love, aren't they? To have those fruits of the Spirit lived out in us. But it takes a whole lot of resisting and ignoring that to get to this point. It takes a whole lot of depth and pursuit in God to get to this point. And I can tell you some good news. The Spirit enables us to say no to that and to say yes to this. John Mark also says this about willpower and gritting our teeth. He says, willpower is at its best when it does what it can to direct our body into spiritual practices so that the Spirit's power can do what willpower can't, overcome the three enemies of the soul, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't know if you've ever been like me and you felt like you've just come to the end of your willpower. Like those noises are so loud and you sort of grit your teeth and tense up your muscles and go, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to choose to do that. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. There's always an end point for willpower. We always reach the end of our tether. The good news is that not the end of the story for us and we have the Spirit living in us. The Spirit comes over the top to do what willpower can't. So we've got to acknowledge that we're a human being with limits. God gave us limits. We don't have to be gods ourselves. It's not us against the flesh, it's the Spirit against the flesh. Let's live like that. Let's live and go, okay, God, I'm at my end point here. I don't want to choose to do that. I need your Spirit to do something in me right now. He responds to that. He's faithful to do that. We are not alone in this battle. The Spirit has won and he does win again and again and again. We just got to ask him to sometimes. We just got to invite him to in that moment to say, yeah, come and do what I can't. Come and do what I can't in that moment, Spirit. The working theory of the law of returns applied to spiritual formation. We talk about the distinction between the flesh and the Spirit is you sow a thought, and you reap an action. You sow an action and you reap another action. You sow some actions and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny, either in slavery to the flesh or in freedom to the Spirit. Where are we sowing? Where are we sowing seeds in our lives? Because ultimately every little decision that we make is doing one of those two things. It's drawing us in slavery to the flesh, or it's drawing us in freedom to the Spirit. And so I wonder, what do you want your destiny to be today? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 5 years? What sort of person, husband, wife, mother, and father, we've said it so many times, what sort of person do we want to be? Do we want to live just like powerless to this battle, feeling like we're constantly tugged in both directions? Or do we want to live in the freedom of the Spirit? Because that is there for us today. that is there for us today, Crossway, to step into. We simply have to ask. We simply have to ask for Him to come into our lives afresh again and choose to be people that pursue depth over instant. Depth over instant. And so two really simple ways that we do this. Number one is we've got to starve the flesh, don't we? If we don't want to live captive to it, we've got to starve it. That annoying dog, that pestering dog, we can't feed it. Sometimes you read passages of Scripture that are harsh, but it's all in Scripture, so you've got to hear it. Are we managing sin in our lives? Are we sort of stewarding sin that exists over here, or are we killing it? Because God thought it was important enough to send His only Son to kill it. What are we doing in our lives? Are we sort of keeping it at bay and sort of putting a little fence around that dog? Gosh, I shouldn't have used a dog metaphor because I'm now going to go into like killing a dog. Wow, okay. But are we managing it, or are we doing what God gave us the power to do, and are we choosing to kill it in that moment and not allowing it to have power over us? Because that's what we have the power to do, and that's what God will be inviting some of us to do today, to once and for all say, I'm going to stop managing you. I'm going to stop stewarding you. I'm going to say no to you once and for all. I'm going to put you up on the cross, and I'm going to have you stay there. And then after we do that, we choose to feed the Spirit. We choose to pursue depth. And we know that the more that we feed ourselves, the more that we crave. The more that we eat grilled chicken and salad and see a change in our weight loss, we go, that's good for me. I'm not going to choose to do that over there. The more that we feed ourselves good, nourishing spiritual food, the more that we're in the Word, the more that we're humbling ourselves before God in prayer, the more that we know that that's what we crave at a really deep level. And the more that that stuff looks colorless and distasteful and like it's not going to satisfy our deepest heart's desires. And as Paul says in Philippians, we trust that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God is not done with you yet. There is a bigger, better, stronger, more whole and complete you in the future when you choose to press into depth. He who has started a good work will bring it to completion. That's the truth. He's faithful to do that. And so just in closing today, I want to share something that a gentleman last week shared with Pastor Mark. It was a prophetic word, actually. Because when we choose to be people of the Spirit and choose to focus on the Spirit as a church, the gifts of the Spirit come out when we pursue Him. And he came to Mark after the service, and Mark circulated it amongst a few staff. And he painted this picture of this drilling equipment that was drilling down to this sort of underground water reserve, this aquifer that was under the ground. And it was clean and fresh living water, but above the aquifer was like this rocky outcrop, like this fairly deep rocky outcrop. And the picture was painted in saying that sometimes there's drilling equipment that has come against those rocks that has bounced back, that hasn't been able to penetrate the rocks. And potentially we become discouraged because we've tried to drill through some rocks in our lives in the pursuit of living water, in the depth of living water in life with the Spirit, and it's bounced back a couple of times. And so we've retreated and we've said, too hard. Too hard, I'm not going near that again. Too hard, that's making me uncomfortable. And the picture for us today is that the drilling equipment that we have got is the only thing that's going to allow us to press right to the bottom of that. You might be so close to living water in your life after pressing through something again and again and again that you might need just one more time. And then there is goodness and fruit and living water. Fruit is the Spirit that exists when we press deep, when we pursue God and we pursue depth in our lives, when we hunger for the Spirit in our lives. That's the picture for what it means to be people of the Spirit, and to say no to the flesh is to say yes to depth, to patient pursuit of a God who loves you, who loves us, and who wants to see us walk in step with the Spirit. He stands here today and he says, you can say no to that today. once and for all, you can nail it to the cross and stop managing it. But then he also says, come and find me. I'm down deep. Come and find me, take time, pray, worship, receive me, I'm down deep. Are you gonna come and find me? That's the invitation for us today. And so we're gonna sing and we're gonna spend time just like we did last week, asking God to come, Holy Spirit, in our lives. But we're gonna have the prayer team down the front again today. And if one of those two directions you are feeling prompted to say something, to receive prayer from God again, if today's a day when you're gonna say no once and for all to something in your life, the team is gonna be down the front. They would love to pray with you in that moment. Or perhaps it's just you'd love to come and pursue depth once again. Perhaps you've been sort of skirting over the surface and you say, I really know that the deepest part of me wants depth. The team's gonna be down the front and they'd love to pray a blessing over you as well. We're gonna be people who pursue depth and not pursue instant in this room and in whichever room you find yourself in today. And so I wonder if, as I pray and invite the Holy Spirit, I wonder if you'd stand with me in this moment as we pray. You might like to put your hands out in front of you as a gesture of saying, God, I'm ready to receive you. And Holy Spirit, I really pray quite simply in this moment that you would do what you do. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal to us what we need to say no to, God, and invite us to depth. Invite us to a wholehearted pursuit of you, God, and paint a picture for us of what our lives look like with the fruit of the Spirit fully lived out in us. Do what you do, God. We love you. We want to be people of the Spirit and not people of the flesh. And so we ask for your help. We need your help, Holy Spirit. Come afresh again in our lives. Come afresh again in our lives.